You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
August the 6th, 2021, American intel agencies apparently are now beginning to decipher genetic data from the Wuhan lab, trying to confirm that's where the Chinese coronavirus originated. It's not clear, apparently, how our intel agencies got access to the information, but apparently they have it, and now they're investigating and taking a closer look. Well, good, because China is really not stepping up to help us at all, other than saying it did not originate from here. It probably originated in the U.S. You're just basically blaming us for it. China did have, on the internet back in 2019, there were 22,000 virus samples from the Wuhan lab that were available through the internet for those who had access to it, but then suddenly China just wiped it all out. Riddle me this. Why do you think they did that? Well, of course, right? Of course. Oh, by the way, to that extent, and I know many are going to stand with him and support him, Congressman Mo Brooks, Republican of Alabama, said, I'm convinced coronavirus was man-made at the Wuhan Institute, and the Chinese communist-run government should be held liable. If it were an American who did that or an American company, they would be held liable for every penny of damages suffered by the American people, our city, county, state, and federal government. We should hold communist China to no less a standard of liability. Well, we'll see what happens with it. In the meantime, as you heard a moment ago on the network news, President Biden says things are going to get worse before they get better. Well, he should know because he knows about how much of this Delta variant and the number of illegals they've released into the U.S. on a continuous basis. He knows the DHS numbers, which just got detailed in a brief filed with a court. So the member of the DHS filing that brief is not going to perjure himself. He's going to put in actual facts and admitted the U.S. is currently encountering record numbers of non-citizens at the border and experiencing significant increased rates of non-citizens testing positive for COVID-19. Yes, we have a surge happening across the nation. And they want to blame it, of course. They want to blame it on the fact that, well, it's got to be Americans just not getting vaccinated. It has to be greatly considered, at least, that the surge is because of the illegals coming in that have not been vaccinated. And it's just this week the DHS said, you know, we think we're going to start vaccinating illegals before we turn them loose in the country. That's right, just this week. How many weeks have they been demanding that you get a vaccine or a mask? It's not so much you have to worry about your fellow American, maybe, but the illegals that are in, because they're not being tested. If they are, they're held briefly or told to wear a mask. They were not being given vaccinations. Well, now they decide, I think we'll do that. But Nicole Wallace of MSNBC, another one of the state-controlled media outlets, says, if children do not return to in-person learning in the school year, you can blame Republicans. Yes, Nicole Wallace was at one time a GOP member, but she gets a lot of money from MSNBC, so she steps forward and supports that narrative now. And the American Federation of Teachers president, Randy Weingarten, was already saying, you know, maybe it's not the time to go back. And the White House is not denying a report that the administration's considering leveraging federal financial muscle to push institutions to require Americans to get vaccinated. We will withhold federal dollars otherwise. By the way, take note of this. Senator Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas, said if you're fed up with everything's going on, you're fed up with politicians like Missouri Congresswoman Bush, Maxine Waters, and everybody blaming you for what's going wrong, the 2022 midterm elections and the 2024 presidential election would give you a chance to put an end to all this anti-American rhetoric and those who are trying to destroy and radically transform our nation.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The call for the defunding police is not wrong. It's absurd and ridiculous. It is absolutely an intellectual and ideological crime against black people to talk about defunding the police. In the city of Boston, which has, as a result of good policing that has been supported by the black community, we actually have a decline in violence because, number one, we supported law enforcement. We supported the law enforcement, and they've got developed the best partnerships that exist in the country and function as a prototype.
That is the Reverend Rivers of Boston talking about that anybody that wants to defund police pretty much amounts to an idiot. Those are my words, not his, but I think it's the same gist. Reverend Eugene Rivers III, the director of the Seymour Institute for Black Church and Policy Studies in Boston, said all of this call for defunding police is not just wrong, it's absurd, it's ridiculous. That's what he was saying on Fox and Friends just this morning. Well, who's pushing to defund police? Well, you know who it is. It's all the standard suspects, the usual suspects, the progressive, and of course trying to quickly make her mark as a progressive, and she's been doing that, she's been succeeding. Congresswoman Cori Bush of Missouri. Oh, yeah, she's now getting as much attention as AOC. I bet that's not making AOC very happy. Certainly not Congresswoman Imar and Ilan, I should say, and Presley and the other members of the squad and progressives. She's kind of stealing some of their limelight. And it got bigger this week. Because while she, along with the rest of the progressives, are talking about to defund the police, to take money from police budgets, and in many cases not just take money and reduce police, but actually lead eventually to banning police, getting rid of police entirely. How the hell do you think that's going to work, by the way? Well, I can give you some examples where they do that. China, North Korea. They don't have police. They have federal troops under the rule of the dictator. But the issue with Cori Bush is, while she's been out there saying, oh, yes, we need to defund police, it's the only right thing to do. Word came out the other day, looking at federal election records, that she had, while she's telling you, you don't need police protection, she spent nearly $70,000 on private security for herself. Well, when she appeared on CBS, someone actually had the gonads to ask a question about that.
You faced some criticism in recent weeks over your push to defund the police. The campaign records show that you spent roughly $70,000 on private security, and some critics say that move is hypocritical. What's your response to those critics?
They would rather I die. You would rather me die? Is that what you want to see? You want to see me die? You know, because that could be the alternative. So either I spent $70,000 on private security over the last few months, and I'm here standing now and able to speak, able to help save 11 million people from being evicted, or I could possibly have a death attempt on my life.
Yep, she went there. And in fact, one of the listeners sent me a Facebook message. Maybe you've seen it. Stephen McMullen saying, Crazy Bush is playing the death card. You see, when you hear that word, it's supposed to shut down all discussion from you, just like playing the race card. Yeah, she's saying, you want me to die? No, no one said anything about wanting you to die. We're talking about the hypocrisy, assuming she can spell it or understand it, between saying, we're going to defund police, we're going to pull police out of your community, but I have reason that I need to have security because I've had threats against me. Now, there's another part of that question, or something else I should say is raised by that statement, which another listener wanted me to pay some attention to, and I'm going to in just a moment. But I want to go back first to Reverend Eugene Rivers of Boston and his view of Cori Bush, Congresswoman Cori Bush. And I do take note, by the way, of how he calls her and what he calls her. You will see it as well. And I will say this, that if he were not a black man and he referred to her this way, she would be in his face, as would the state-controlled media, saying, that's Congresswoman to you. But anyway, let's go to the point that Reverend Eugene Rivers of Boston is making about Congresswoman Bush.
Ms. Bush should be arrested for political and ideological malpractice. Ms. Bush, come to Boston to see the model that exists and is, in fact, frankly, the best model in the country. I'm going to be meeting with people in New York City with some of the staff for Eric Adams to talk about developing faith-based law enforcement partnerships. That's the model. Right. That is the answer to Black Lives Matter.
There you go. He called her Ms. Bush or Ms. two different times instead of Congresswoman. But the point being, in his words, again, in his words, she should be arrested for making such a claim about defunding police. Let me read his exact quote to you. Ms. Bush should be arrested for political and ideological malpractice. It's absurd. Well, for those of you who think that the state-controlled media and the leftists and the progressives have nothing good to say about police at any point, oh, no, 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 no. No, 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 they do. They do when it works for their advantage. And if they can weaponize the point to use against you, you will find them praising police if they were at the Capitol on January 6th fighting off the, quote, insurrection. Let me give you an example. I'm looking at a piece written by an MSNBC opinion columnist, Frank Figluisi, I guess, if I mispronounce it, I'm not trying to. And he talked about the concern about some of the officers because they committed suicide following that January 6th event. Suddenly, there's concern about police officers and police officer deaths. But before I get into breaking down his opinion piece, listen to this MSNBC report.
Us four officers, we would do January 6th all over again. We wouldn't stay home because we knew it was going to happen. We would show up. That's courageous. That's heroic.
That was just one poignant moment from this week's testimony on Capitol Hill about the insurrection on January 6th. U.S. Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn touched on something big there. Even knowing now what he did not know then, he says he still would have shown up for work. That's been a big theme in this. Not easy to do your duty when the whole world is watching. But those officers showed us what it looks like.
Every officer in the street, 24/7, 365, regardless of their gender, their race, their religion, their years of service, that's what they're doing on a continuous basis. And yet they've been vilified and slandered repeatedly. Not for their actions, but for actions of someone else who might have actually been acting correctly, or maybe not. But the only officers that we see the progressives and the state-controlled media praising are those who were at the Capitol. And Biden, of course, yesterday giving out these medals to them, gold medal, congressional gold medal for their response on January 6th. I have no problem with awarding them and recognizing what they did. But you do understand it's political, strictly political. In fact, I'll give you a perfect quote from Biden that proves it. As he's hosting this signing ceremony to give the Capitol Police officers a congressional gold medal from protecting the Capitol, as he said, a mob of extremists and terrorists. He said it wasn't dissent, it wasn't debate, it wasn't democracy, it was insurrection. I will agree that it was wrong. But then he can't stop there. He has to go on and say not even during the Civil War did insurrectionists breach the capital of the U.S. of America, the citadel of our democracy. But on January 6th, they did. So they're praising and honoring those officers. And, of course, you heard the MSNBC anchor say that they even knowing what the – if they were face again, they'd go and do it again. Every officer, every day when they leave their house for their shift, either what they encountered previous days themselves or fellow officers either in their jurisdiction or across the nation, they go out there every day with that. I'm not trying to make light of what the Capitol Police were dealing with that day, but it's being weaponized, and if I were a member of the Capitol Police, I'd say, enough. You're trying to build a narrative based upon a lie that it's insurrection, but secondly, on the deaths of some officers. Not that they were killed during the, quote, insurrection, but suicide. And that's back to the columnist from MSNBC saying, Monday we learned of the third, then the fourth death by suicide of a police officer who answered the call of duty in response to violent attempts to overthrow our democracy on January 6th. And suddenly they are concerned about the death of these officers because even Brian Sicknick, he points out, who died from two strokes, according to the Washington Medical Examiner, he says the medical examiner found that, quote, all that transpired played a role in his condition. I'm not going to argue the point. But what would have happened, too, if he had to go out there and run up and down the flight of stairs a couple of times, I still feel for the loss of for his family and the officers' families who are left behind after their suicide. But now suddenly we have the state-controlled media all concerned about police officers' suicide as work-related. And quoting a resource looking at these and saying that In 2019, suicide was the number 10 cause of death overall in the U.S. Number 10 overall. And saying maybe we need to investigate the suicide clusters when we have police officers committing suicide. You know why these are getting the attention? Because they're all tied to January 6th. We also have the issue with Ashley Babbitt, the California woman, of course, who was shot by the Capitol Police officer. She's climbing through a window. Well, her family is filing a $10 million wrongful death lawsuit. The lawyer hired by her family, who specializes in police misconduct cases, said he believes that Ashley Babbitt was ambushed by the Capitol Police officer. He says it's not debatable. There was no warning. I would call what he did an ambush. I don't think he's a good officer. I think he's reckless. Well, I'd expect him to say that. He's representing the family in that $10 million suit. And he said it's a false narrative that he issued no verbal commands or warnings, according to the lawyers, the officer for the lawyer, who still has not been identified. He said that's a false narrative. He was screaming, stay back, don't come in here. He said, you can't hear on the cell phone video because he had a mask and the video was from the other side of the room. And Ashley Babbitt had had numerous warnings before she got there. She knew she was going past police lines and then going through a window. The officer had no idea what she had in her backpack. And when I made that comment to a guest, he's kind of refused to be on the program since. I hope it wasn't because of that, but it's never been clear to me. And then the listener with a question about Cori Bush coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Not a yes, sir. Not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold. Have a seat in the foyer. Take a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I'm going to make sure I have security because I know I have had attempts on my life and I have too much work to do. There are too many people that need help right now for me to allow that. So if I end up spending $200,000, if I spend $10 more dollars on it, you know what? I get to be here to do the work. So suck it up, and defunding the police has to happen.
That's Missouri Congresswoman Cori Bush defending why she spent $70,000 on private security for protection for herself while trying to defund the police department across the city of St. Louis and her district and joining others trying to defund them all across the nation. Yes, it's hypocritical. Loyal listener Diane sent me an email I want to respond to here, and I've already responded to her, so I'm going to read you the response as well. Her question is, if Bush was threatened or someone tried to physically harm her, where's the police report? She's a congresswoman. Isn't it a federal crime? I haven't heard anyone ask that. Did I miss it? And my answer is, you're correct to question Bush's claim of death threats. There is no police report. Again, I say that I'm aware of, I should add. Her claim might have some validity based on simply a remark made at some point, but no specifics that apparently could be labeled a crime. And again, I'm judging by what we know and what's been presented. I do add that if she had legitimate threats, I'm sure she would have filed a report, but I also believe she might file a false exaggerated report now just for the publicity. Bottom line, she is the typical radical living martyr. She did make one thing clear. Her life is more important than yours. I want to do a Jen Psaki and circle back on my remarks about Ashley Babbitt a moment ago. The only person actually killed during the January 6th event. She had served her country in the Air Force. And she was climbing through a broken glass. Those could see the officer inside shouting, there's a gun, he's got a gun. And then she is shot in the left shoulder falling to the floor, but she later died at the hospital. And I said, in response to her attorney insisting that the officer gave no warning, it was an ambush. There is no justification for that statement. Not an ambush. An ambush is you're catching someone they don't expect to be encountering you in any way. I regret she did that, and I'm sure her family does, but it was her decision. She was a grown woman, and she had made the decision to go in inside the Capitol, and she was not just parading around looking and just looking, and she was climbing through a door into the House chambers. The officer, still not publicly identified, his defense will be, obviously, that he warned her several times, screaming, "Stay back, stay back." That's according to his attorney. But there was no need for that warning at that point. She had already gone through police lines. She's going through a broken window. She knows she's committing a threat, if not a crime, at that point. She got a backpack on. He could see her hands, but he doesn't know what's in the backpack. Do you let someone with a backpack get inside the chambers where all the members of Congress were huddled at that point, those who were in there? And if she had explosives, what do you do in that moment? Oh, yeah, you sit back now and judge it. But what about then? Word coming out from Apple, you got an iPhone? They say they're going to start scanning all iPhones in the U.S. for child abuse imagery. They say we're going to start looking into all of the pictures that appear on your iPhone to see if there's any abuse, child sex abuse material. Well, I'm all for protecting children, but this is raising a big alarm about you're just going to start dipping into the phones and looking at pictures. Who's going to determine? What if you take a picture of your two-year-old splashing around in the bathtub? Is that going to be considered and used against you as child sex abuse? Again, I'm for protecting children, but I have to question how much that's going to invade privacy. And then you wait to hear what's happening at the YMCA in Burbank and what a teacher's union is doing against a parent. Coming up.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed, and at the same time, will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler's still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My next guest, first time to join us. I'm glad to have him on board, Spencer Lindquist. He is he's the California chief of staff, I should say, of the California College Republicans and a contributor to the Federalist. And Spencer, glad to have you join us. Welcome aboard for the first time.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very glad to be on your show.
Well, you had a couple of pieces that really raised some questions with me, and I wanted you to flesh them out. These were pieces, folks, that appeared in the Federalist, one dated August 4. That's a YMCA story, which we'll get to in a moment, and the other August 5, and the title on this is Massive Teachers Union Suing Mom Who Asked About Political Material in the Kindergarten Curriculum. She just wants to know what's being taught to her kids in the K school, and they're suing her?
That's exactly right. This is a mother of a kindergarten student in Rhode Island. Her name is Nicole Solas, and she is currently being sued by the nation's largest public sector teachers union. This is the National Education Association, and they are an extremely wealthy organization, an extremely powerful organization, and they are coming down on this mother for trying to find out what exactly her kindergarten-age child is going to be learning in school.
Well, you point out in your article, you're saying that she wanted to know if any of the materials would be politically charged, such as anything influenced by critical race theory and gender theory. As a parent, she's entitled to know, what are you going to be teaching my kids?
Absolutely. That is the 100% the right of the parent. And the state does not own children. Communities don't own children. Parents, you know, they have sole responsibility over their children. And it is absolutely abhorrent that we have these large, well-funded structures and organizations that are cracking down on parents who are just trying to be there for their children and understand what is being taught, particularly right now when we have this scourge of critical race theory, which is deeply anti-American, deeply anti-white. It's being pushed on schools throughout the country. And it's never been more important for parents to know what's going on in their children's classrooms.
And an underlying piece of some of this progressive movement is to break up the American family. To break up the American family and change it dramatically and actually become, that the children actually become children of the state, not the parents.
Absolutely. The family is the building block of any healthy society. And that goes for all societies throughout the world. If you don't have strong families, you don't have a strong country or a strong culture.
Well, and of course, we're talking about countries that, you know, appreciate and understand freedom. In China, they don't have that, and they don't have it in North Korea. So, yeah, sure. Their children are basically state representatives.
Absolutely, absolutely. Unfortunately, so. And in America, we want to preserve the nuclear family, right? Which is that's something that Black Lives Matter targeted, and various different groups on the left are targeting our families, the structures of our families, and that is why they are acting as if they have claim over America's children. And that's why they're going after the parents, because the parents, at the end of the day, they are in charge of what their children learn and of maintaining that cohesive family structure to maintain a cohesive culture. And it's because of that that the family is so under attack by the left.
Well, the Goldwater Institute is helping her file a legal action, but it's costing something like $74,000. And as you point out, she's up against the NAA, which represents more than 2.3 million teachers, a budget of $300 million. So there's a Goliath issue right away, isn't there?
No, absolutely. This is the scale really cannot be overlooked in this situation. Like you said, they do represent roughly 2.3 million individuals, and they have a budget of, again, over $300 million. So this is no small organization. And the fact that you have such a powerful group that is cracking down just on one parent, it really also goes to show just how afraid so many on the left are of us just finding out what kids are being taught in schools, because they know that if the American people see what is being taught, if they see the gender theory that is being pushed, if they see the critical race theory that is being pushed, they know that average Americans will not tolerate it, and they're willing to use all this power that they have, all this institutional power to try and obscure that from the view of people throughout America.
You're listening to Spencer Lindquist. He's a chief of staff of the California College Republicans and a contributor to the Federalist. Before I go to the next article, let me ask you very quickly, California College Republicans, how strong are you, and what kind of flack do you get around you, or are you guys having to meet in secret?
Well, we actually have a lot more Republicans out in California, even than many people realize, even sometimes more than I realize. California, of course, is a solidly blue state now, unfortunately, but there still are a lot of Republicans in California, and it actually makes organizing a little bit easier than you might expect. But California College Republicans, the federation, the state federation for California, we are a growing and thriving organization. And we're very hopeful for the future of organizing on campus.
And, of course, Larry Elder is looking pretty good in the running and the recall election for Governor Newsom. And Governor Newsom suddenly crying out that this is unfair.
Of course, and our organization actually just came out and unanimously endorsed Larry Elder. So we're very hopeful for his campaign, and we're going to be supporting that in every way possible.
All right. Now, the other article that you put into the Federalist, it was dealing with, and there's some material in here we're going to have to kind of step around lightly, folks, on some of the words. It involves a Burbank, California YMCA Social Impact Center hosting a youth-only event, something innocently called Pop Art. What was it really?
So this event, this is from the Social Impact Center, and that is a subsidiary of Burbank, California's YMCA. And the Social Impact Center is billed as if it is this LGBT advocacy group. That is how it is presented. But there really are some insidious aspects of this organization. So they hosted this event, this pop art event, and this is something that is aimed at children. This was not their youth-only event. They are having a separate event that is youth-only. They are setting that precedent. But this event was really, really quite frightening. They hosted an artist who makes pornographic drawings, including lots of various different children's characters, Disney characters, some of them who are engaged in sex acts. And this was the individual who they were hosting to bring to children. This is not at all suitable for children. This is not somebody who children should be in contact with. And it was actually uncovered that this individual is in a relationship with the gentleman who's actually the director of the Social Impact Center.
Now, there are several things. Lanes I want to go down. Let's begin with one of them. One of the pieces of work you said that he actually depicted characters from the children's show Teletubbies, which a lot of the kids might be familiar with, but it involved pixelated pornography, you said. Another featuring a young boy holding a condom and the words F-boy above him. Folks, you fill in the letters. So that's some of his work. And how many parents you think that let their kids go to that knew it or cared or thought, that's okay?
Well, it's difficult to tell. But what we do know is the Social Impact Center actually tagged this individual. His name is Blake Rodriguez. They actually tagged his art account on Instagram. So they were well aware. And, of course, this
So it was no surprise to them of his history.
Oh, not at all. Also because the director, again, is in a relationship with Blake. So obviously they're both well aware of what's going on here. But this is really part of a very startling trend, and while it's hard to tell exactly which parents knew or which parents didn't, this is a part of a startling trend of the left pushing for the normalization and the sexualization of children and the normalization of pedophilia. This is something that we are seeing in a host of different environments, and when you speak out against it, you're called a homophobe or a bigot, and there are all these slur words that are brought out, but that's the language of people who, quite frankly, don't have an argument and are afraid that we're getting bold enough to call out the truth. But the left is targeting children. It's targeting children in schools, just like in this last story that we discussed, and they're targeting children under the guise of tolerance and love and acceptance, but they're bringing in people who have no business being in any close proximity with children.
Well, I want to make sure we emphasize, because if I read your article correct, none of that kind of work that he does and is known for was shown or distributed to the children. Is that correct?
No. To my knowledge, I don't know any of the details of what happened at the event itself. To my knowledge, that material was not distributed to children.
But his background is the baggage he brings. As you said, he uses the pronoun they, always dresses in drag, according to his Instagram profile. Pictures of him showing his buttocks with a graphic statement. And the same YMCA has previously hosted the Drag Queen Story Hour. I'm thinking about, and then this push that we have going on in the nation now, pushing kids to, you don't feel like a boy? Well, maybe you're a girl. Maybe we should start you on puberty blocking and things. Pushing kids in a direction they're not ready to make such a decision. Even adults have a hard time what decisions to make. But all of this is undermining the family and exposing kids to someone who might prey upon them.
It is certainly a very, very striking situation, and there's no clearer evidence that the left is coming after our children than this. It is completely disgusting and despicable that anybody is even entertaining the idea that children should be able to go on puberty blockers, or that they are able to change their gender, and to say otherwise it is flirting with child abuse. And when these children actually do go on puberty blockers, that is child abuse.
I agree. Spencer, thank you again for your time. Spencer Lindquist, a contributor for The Federalist, will do something in the future again, sir.
Thank you very much. Enjoyed having
you. Bet. Thank you, sir. Coming up, VP Harris is having a meltdown, a crisis of some type. Who's to blame? What's next? You don't want to miss this story. Still to come.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Got me waking, bun man. Waking around the fire. I want a little rain or water. That you won't let Jimmy start, big boy. Can't you hear me when I call?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Picking up a little bit on our last segment again. I had mentioned previously that Apple is going to start scanning iPhones for any illegal child abuse images. Well, I don't want children exploited like that in any way. But I have to have some questions, since we know how big tech decides its own rules from time to time. What's to keep them from looking at anything and pulling up any images they want anyway? But now they say they are going to scan them for any child abuse imagery. If it leads to a protection of a child, that would be great. That would be great. But if it leads to illegal invasion of privacy, even if it's to catch a child molester, the case isn't going to do any good, but at least it will save a child. That's going to be a very delicate balance going forward. But in the meantime, I told you earlier this week that the AMA, the American Medical Association, the Board of Trustees, said that we need to remove any biological sex markers from birth certificates. You know, that you decide at that point, boy or girl. That's what the delivery doctor, the obstetrician, will put down once the child is born, boy or girl. Well, now the AMA says, no, you shouldn't even have that in there. Well, I'm glad to see that the American College of Pediatricians is fighting back with that and saying, no, we need to have that. Said identifying sex in the public portion of the birth certificate affirms the scientific fact that sex is an innate and immutable binary trait of public significance. Bottom line is, it's stupid for the AMA to make that decision that we're not going to list a child being born if it's male or female. You upset with all this stuff going on? You want to see some change? You want to get rid of this kind of radical thinking? Senator Ted Cruz says it's coming up 2022 and 2024. And I've already said I think there's going to be a lot of buyer's remorse among the Democrats. Pelosi standing very confident. She's saying, I'm confident we'll still hold the House in 2022. Maybe a slim, slim majority, but we will win. I certainly hope she's wrong. You had to prove her wrong. In the meantime, in Wisconsin, election officials had deleted more than 205,000 names from voter registration rolls. 174,000 hadn't voted in the past 4 years. They didn't respond to any mailing, so they just took them off. Good. Another 31,000 removed because of postcards mailed out that had questions that they didn't live in those addresses anymore. This is what we need to do to make sure the voter rolls are accurate, up to date, and legal. In the meantime, we've got VP Harris apparently having some kind of crisis. No, they're not saying a lot about it, but we do know this. According to Axios, a group of prominent Democrat women political strategists gathered for a dinner in D.C. to discuss VP Harris's media crisis. Apparently, no one from her office was actually there, but a confidant of hers did attend and, of course, report back to her. This group discussing best practices for fighting back against negative perceptions of Harris, They say she's been suffering a series of political setbacks in the first 6 months of the Biden presidency. They're complaining about the coverage of her. Well, of course, we're talking about in particular, Biden gave her the job of tasking the border, and she didn't go the border for until almost had to because Donald Trump was making a trip to the border. And she's not really doing anything to stem the flow of illegals. He gave her an impossible task. I will admit that. But, of course, they're seeing it. That's just a way that she got set up to fail. And they want to actually claim that the media, the very own state-controlled media, is to blame. I think you should probably, if you want to place blame, look to Biden. Say, did you set her up to fail? Maybe Biden's a little smarter than some of you are giving him credit for. But they also complained that the coverage of Harris, keep in mind, most of it's coming state-controlled media, except for programs like this and Fox and others, Newsmax. They're saying most of the coverage of her reminds them of the coverage Hillary Clinton got, which they perceived as sexist. The Atlantic reported this week that Harris is frustrated with how the corporate media is treating her. She said in an interview, part of my frustration is the way that this system rewards sound bites as opposed to depth and thought. No, you did not open that door, did you? You really want to have a discussion on depth and thought, VP Harris? I'd love to have that discussion with you. I don't care what your political stripes are, your color, your religion. If you are a patriot, you want to see this country remain the beacon for the rest of the world, then this program is for you. 100% patriotic. We have some differences on politics from time to time. That should not be a division. It should be a way to talk and reestablish, or at least, okay, we're going to differ on that. But we don't have to walk away and call each other enemies. 100% patriotic. That's the theme of this program, and I thank you for supporting it. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.